The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
And welcome. We are so glad that you're joining us today. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio, where our goal is to inspire and educate you all about adoption. If you've been thinking about adoption, that it might be a path for you, or you know someone who's considering adoption, we'd love it if you'd share our show with them. Also, we'd love to hear from you. We love your suggestions and ideas about our show. So if you want to send us an email, you can always reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com, or you can check out our archives on adoption.net, where we're now being broadcast. That is our new home. Over 150 shows to pick from on every topic that you can think of related to adoption. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show. And keep on listening, because we have so much, much more to share with you. I do hope that you enjoyed our encore presentation with Lisa Cleary last week. Lisa is a Korean adoptee who has a fun and interesting perspective on adoption and various aspects of how adult adoptees face their challenges. She is an NBC Today show contributor. She's written several articles about adoption, and we had her on about her most recent article called Six Things My Adoptive Parents Did Right. I really loved going through this list with Lisa. It was fun how many things that she's learned from her family as she grew up and some of the things that she's learned from her parents that she's sharing with us. So it was very fun, and do go back on adoption.net. As I said, you can watch or listen to any of our archives, over 150 shows to pick from. You can search topics and check out some of the shows that we've done, including Lisa Cleary. So today, our guests, I'm so excited. We have Susan Stockham and her son, Derek Riggins, who's going to join us today, joining us to talk about this topic of older adoptions beyond 18. And Susan and I were having a conversation about the fact that it really is never too late. So many times we talk about adoption, and we talk about it in terms of infant adoption, certainly a lot. We talk about it in terms of international adoption. We've spent a lot of time on this show talking a lot about foster care. And it seems like that it ends, or our information, I think, ends at age 18. In a recent conversation that Susan and I had, I realized that there's a much bigger story here, and so wanted to invite Susan and her son, Derek, to join us to talk about this issue of older adoptions beyond 18. Now, Susan Stockham has been practicing law in Florida since 1982. Her practice is limited to adoption and surrogacy, and in 30 years of practice, she's assisted over 2,000 couples in domestic, independent, and agency adoptions and international adoptions. She's a Florida Bar Board certified adoption law attorney, is a member of the prestigious American Academies of Adoption Attorneys and Assisted Reproductive Law Attorneys. Susan also represents parties in in relative, step-parent, and grandparent adoptions in addition to adoptions. She is representative of, she represents gestational carriers, surrogates, and intended parents in building families. She has interests in adoption that go beyond her professional work. You'll see that today. She's an adoptive parent of, adoptive mother of four, and is known to mom as many others who become a part of her family, including a beautiful granddaughter. Welcome, Susan. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's just so fun, and I'm so glad. And you came with us to the show to talk with us about this topic, but more importantly, you're bringing in and introducing your son, Derek Riggins, and Derek is with us as well. He is the Director of Community and Government Relations for Youth for Tomorrow. He's been with Youth for Tomorrow for about 2 years, and prior to joining the YFT, he worked on Capitol Hill for the Senate Finance Committee for Chairman Max Baucus. Derek has also had a brief stint with the Health and Human Services, working in policy related to domestic minor sexual expiation. And he has attended Florida A&M University in Tallahassee. He received his bachelor's degree in social work. He went to Florida State University and received his master's degree in social work, and with a concentration on social policy and administration. Derek has also worked with an organization we're going to talk about today, Florida Children First, as a lobbyist on behalf of children in foster care. And Derek is just an amazing young man. Derek, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for being here.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and it's really fun to have both of you here with us. Susan, you have an amazing story, but I'm going to start with Derek, because I want him to tell us a little bit about his adoption story. Maybe that'll kind of kick us off and to begin talking about this topic. Derek, can you tell us?
Well, prior to being adopted, I ended up aging out of the Florida foster care system at the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And got involved with the group Florida Youth Shine, and was invited to come down to Sarasota to speak to volunteers about children in foster care and some of the things that we deal with. And one of the things that I touched on prior to meeting my mother at that event was every kid deserved a forever family. And my mom, prior to me speaking, she spoke about the same thing. And it was really amazing to know that two people who didn't meet before, had never seen each other, could talk about the same thing and how important it was for children. And at that moment, my mom, at that time she was Susan, reached out to me and she was like, I want you to be a part of my family. And I thought that she was crazy because I was like, I'm too old. There are other kids out there. But long and behold, due to her persistence and her inviting me down and just really helping me understand what it meant to be a part of a family, it was the best decision that we both made, and I'm forever thankful for having my forever family. And I think that is something that every kid deserves, because my mom has been my everything, from me coming to Capitol Hill, from me going to law school. A lot of my major milestones in life, my mom has been right there by my side, supporting me, encouraging me, and just even when I fail, like helping me to get back up. So that is, I'm forever thankful for my mom.
Yeah, yeah. So Derek, how old are you now?
I'm 30 now.
You're 30 now. Okay. And
yes,
Susan, when you adopted Derek, you told me this earlier, but I just want our audience to hear, how old was Derek when you officially adopted him?
25.
He was 25. So you guys met at this conference, and then kind of, can you tell us, Susan, kind of what happened for you when you met Derek?
Derek and I were both asked to speak on improving the outcomes for kids in foster care. And so we both came from different perspectives. I came as an adoption professional and someone who had worked with kids in care. And Derek came as a speaker of someone who had aged out of care. And as he said, you know, our comments were very much aligned, and we met with him afterwards, gave him a ride home, continued going back and forth on weekends and visiting and having contact, and it just became really obvious to both of us that there was already a family connection that was made. I have three other sons, and they immediately bonded with Derek and vice versa, and my granddaughter, and it has been such a joy to have him be a part of our family.
It's amazing to me. And so, you know, I think that most people think that when you turn 18, you're no longer eligible for adoption. And so I guess there aren't any age limits, right, Susan? I mean, you're never too old to be adopted. Is that really true?
Never too old to be adopted. In fact, last week I had the honor of completing an adoption for a 65-year-old adoptee and her 93-year-old adoptive father.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so never too old to have that sense of needing to belong, have a permanent home, a permanent family that doesn't age out, even when you age out of care, even if you turn 50 or 60, it doesn't go away. We all have that desire in our hearts to be a part of a family and a place to belong. As
right.
I used to say, to have a picture hang on the wall, know that this is my home, I belong here.
Yeah. So, Derek, how did that, you know, when I don't think that we really understand the logistics of this. So up until the time you were 25, or let's just start at 18, were you in foster care? What was your situation at that point?
Up until that time, I stayed with my foster family until I went off to college at Florida A&M. But the reason it was difficult is because during the holidays, I stayed off campus. So a lot of my roommates, they went home for the holidays, and I would just stay in Tallahassee. And that was depressing because a lot of times, you know, holidays were supposed to be joyous occasions. Well, it was depressing for me because I didn't have that family to really go home to. So it was one of those things where, like my mom said, you have the picture hanging on the wall, but now holidays, birthdays, celebrations, they mean so much more now because you have that family to celebrate them with. You understand those traditions.
Mm-hmm. Right. So did you have one foster family, or were you in multiple foster families from your youth?
From my time in care, I probably had seven different placements.
Okay.
I was very blessed to have different family members and non-family members that decided to take me in. But my final placement with the Harris family was one that was a life-changing placement for me because they kept me from my ninth grade through my 12th grade year up until I went to college. So if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have went to college. So
Okay. And you're still connected to them in several ways?
Yes, I am. I still, when I go home to visit Orlando, I still go visit them. They come to D.C. to visit me sometimes, and I still talk to their son to this day. So we have a very strong connection.
Yeah. And so, you know, some of the benefits, what would you say? I've got about 2 minutes left, but I'm curious, and maybe we can bring this into the next segment. Some of the benefits, I mean, when you, here you are, this young adult, did you ever think that this was going to happen for you?
No. I think one of the biggest benefits is my mom has shown me unconditional love. Prior to that, I had trust issues. And I didn't trust anybody, but my mom, through persistency and just really showing me what true unconditional love was, I had to learn what it was like to be in a forever family. I could think about times where I remember my mom, we went to the store before I got ready to go back to college, and she asked me a question in front of the cashier, like, did you get your underwear? And I'm looking at her like, whoa, like, why are you asking me that? And it was like, at that moment, I realized that's what moms do. Like, they embarrass you. And I still remember that story to this day. Even when we had disagreements, she still loved me the same. And because of that, I'm a better man today because of her, because of the morals, the values, and the fact that she always believed in me. I've always taken her catchphrase of, we can do better. And I use that in all the work that I do to try to figure out ways that we can do better. And that's why I'm such a big advocate for kids being adopted and having that forever family.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. I'm so glad you're with us today, Derek. And Susan, you as well, bringing really an amazing story. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back because I want to talk about this issue about advocating and the work that you're doing, Derek, in terms of advocating for youth in foster care. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We'll be back for more.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center, helping build families one miracle at a time.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio, where each week our show with our links and resources mentioned on this show can be found at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. At youradoptionfinancecoach.com, you can learn from our coaches great fundraising ideas and step-by-step plans to help you complete your dream of adoption. Our services are provided through our affiliate agencies, agencies such as EACI, New Beginnings, Beacon House Adoptions, A Step Ahead, A Baby Step, WayCap, Spence Chapin, the list goes on and on. Soon to join us will be Hopscotch Adoptions and Family Connections Christian Adoptions. The list is getting bigger every day, and I'm so proud of that. Every day agencies are joining us to provide our innovative financial services to their clients and bridging that financial gap. So you can check out our website for a complete list of agencies providing these innovative tools and resources to help you bridge the financial gap of adoption. So we are back with Susan Stockham and her son, Derek Riggins. Derek is sharing his story of being a child in foster care. So, Derek, you were in foster care from the time you were 2 until you aged out of the system. So we throw this around a lot, Derek, and, you know, one of the statistics that I give, the last time Rita Sorenen was on my show, one of the statistics I gave is 18,000 children, youth, age out of foster care every year, and I'm not really sure that we really get, what does that mean? What does that mean, Derek? What happened when you turned 18?
Well, what happens in a lot of times is youth who turn 18, in legal terminology, they're technically an adult, but if they were in a regular home when they turn 18, they wouldn't have to leave that home. Well, because they're an adult now, they have to go through the background check and all of that stuff that adults have to go through to be around children who are in foster care. So the very system that removed them is now the very same system that is placing them out to be on their own. You do have some foster families who let those young people stay with them, but a lot of times those young people have to leave those foster homes.
Okay, and so when you say you have background checks and that kind of thing, so on your 18th birthday, you are in foster care, right? So you were with your foster family, and your foster
Correct.
Family receives a letter from the social services or whatever and says, Derek is 18 and they have a choice. Is that kind of how that works?
That's kind of how it works now. But prior to like them passing a lot of the new laws, like those young people had to leave that home. Like the services were cut off unless they were going to college or something like that. And then they would qualify for independent living.
Okay. And they would have to leave the home because the foster family is no longer getting benefits. Is that right?
Correct.
They're no longer getting support. But it is up to the foster family to keep that child if they want to.
Yes.
Okay. So what happens for some of these kids that have to go? Where do they go? I mean, I think that's always been kind of the big question. Where's the infrastructure? Is there an infrastructure for them, some place to go, a place to connect? And I'm not talking as much about a family as I am about services.
That's the thing. I think a lot of those services are, quote unquote, tried to be put in place with the whole independent living program. But what 18-year-old, you know, is ready to actually move out and be
right.
on their own, I think, because a lot of us have been bounced around from group home to group home, we learn how to go as what we call couch surfing, which is where you live with one person for a little while and stay with another person, but in a sense, you're still homeless.
Okay, so it really is, they're homeless if they don't have any kind of community around them. And it sounds like even if they do have a community around them, they're homeless.
Correct.
Okay. So how did you know you were still with your foster family when you were 18? But
Correct.
there's a lot of credit, I think, given to you in terms of how you built a community of support around you, you know, to help you meet kind of the challenges of growing up. I mean, I look at your resume, Derek, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you have a master's degree in social work. You're working on your PhD. You know, such an amazing story that you have. So what would you attribute that to? And I want you to take some credit for this, please. You've done all this amazing work, right?
I think for me, it would have to be my faith. And then the fact that I'll never forget one day I was sitting down with Mr. Harris, and I asked him, because he grew up in the projects, and I said, how did you get to where you're at? And one of the things he told me was education. And when he shared that with me, it was like a light bulb went off in my head, like, okay, if I go to school, work hard, I can have these things that Mr. Harris has. And it was just something clicked in me, like, at that moment, I knew that education was the way out. And that's why I'm such an advocate for helping young kids in foster care achieve that high school diploma, because that's the first level of success that they probably have seen. Out of my biological family, I was the only one of my dad's kids to graduate high school. And out of my mom's kids, I was the second to graduate high school. So the odds were really stacked against me to be successful. So when I graduated high school and then Mr. Harris was like, you can go to college, I was like, I can go to college. Like, college never came into my mind until Mr. Harris actually took me to the university and let me experience what it was like to go to a university and just really went that extra mile. He went above and beyond what the caseworker would require of him to do.
Right.
He really took me in as his child and loved me as a parent would. Mm-hmm. And mind you, he had a son that was the same age as me, and we were doing those things together. But nonetheless, he still included me in that process.
So how did you, did he help you figure out how to pay for college and how to do all of this with the financial aspects of schooling?
So Florida has a program called the Florida Tuition Waiver, where kids who age out of foster care can go to school for free, which is something that I'm advocating for other states to incorporate.
Wow.
But the first 2 years of college, I took out student loans because all I was told, my caseworker told me to go to college and they would be taken care of. So I filled out the FAFSA, and realized that I was getting student loans, and I was like, I thought I was supposed to go to school for free, and ended up calling the governor's office, and the governor ended up connecting me to the secretary of DCF, Department of Children and Families, and then that's how I ended up getting the tuition waiver incorporated. And I was very blessed because the lead agency who had my case at that time, they had to pay back a percentage of the student loans, of my student loans, because they actually dropped the ball. So,
Okay.
I've learned to be an advocate for myself because nobody else will go to bat for me.
Yeah, that's so true. So I think there's an organization here that deserves kind of being mentioning. Susan, I wish you'd talk a little bit about it. It's the Florida Youth Shine organization. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Florida Youth Shine is the youth division of Florida Children's First. Youth Shine is a youth-driven, peer-led organization that empowers current and former foster youth to become advocates for all youth in care. It mentors the children, it educates them, it teaches them to be able to speak, and they really have a firm position that these youth need to be at the table with all conversations that go on regarding foster care, from the governor's office to the legislature, through the local, Florida is privatized, we have local community-based care organizations, and to empower the youth to speak out. And it's really taken on quite a national movement, not only from Florida, but California's been a leading state, as well as several others. And the legislature really stop and listen to what these kids have to say. They have a very powerful voice, and if they can be trained to use their voice, they're making amazing impacts.
Yes.
And Derek was a chair for Florida Youth Shine, and I think he can talk about some of the impacts that they were able to make.
Yeah, that is amazing, Derek. So you were a big part of this organization. So state chair, what is the state chair? What do you do?
So my job is, well, my role as the state chair was to kind of be the voice for the whole state of Florida, in the sense of when there's an issue going on, I would talk to the other chapters of Florida Youth Shine, and I would make sure that that voice was being heard at the state level. Two of the big things that I was really excited about with being in that role was really having the opportunity to make sure that youth's voice were heard. Former Secretary George Sheldon said it's important to have young people at the table because someday it'll be their table. And he embraced that with us as Florida Youth Shine. Mm-hmm. And because of that, like, I am in love with politics. I believe that it works because I've seen it work. Some of the best legislation passed has been due to Florida Youth Shine and us being involved and being at the table. We had a bill that passed when I was the chair called like the rapid enrollment, which mm-hmm. was a bill designed to help young people when they were removed from their placement. If they were placed in another county, that school had to accept that young person because a lot of times the paperwork that you need to enroll in school, the caseworkers or the private investigator, they weren't getting that information. So you had kids sitting at home waiting for the system to get the paperwork in place so that these young people could enroll. So it's just little things like that that legislators don't think about because they're not experiencing it that we get to bring to the table. And that organization has done phenomenal work in Florida, and I'm just proud to be an alumni of that organization.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm really impressed with Florida. I mean, just the kinds of things that Florida as a state has done in terms of foster care. So I've got about another, well, I need to take a break right now, but when I come back, I want to talk a little bit about the bills that have been directly involved in kind of improving the services for kids around foster care. And you guys can hopefully contribute to that. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm here today with Susan Stockham and her son, Derek Riggins, talking about the topic of older adoptions beyond 18. Do stay with us. We'll be right back.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select?
Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. I do want to give a call out to our sponsor, Adoption Network Law Center, located in California. They are providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. You're going to want to check out their Birth Mother's Day celebration on Saturday, May 9th. It's located at their headquarters in Lake Forest, California. The celebration will be from 12 to 3 p.m., and it's going to be open to all birth mothers. Birth Mother's Day is recognized annually on the Saturday before Mother's Day. It's for women who've placed, and this day can be a very difficult time as it reminds them of the baby that they gave birth to but are not mothering. Adoption Network Law Center honors these courageous women who choose to give their children life and provide them with a family through adoption. You can find out more information about the Birth Mother's Day celebration at adoptionnetwork.com. That's adoptionnetwork.com. So welcome back. We're here again with Susan Stockham and her son, Derek Riggins, talking about this issue of older adoption. A couple of call-outs that I think are really important. If you want to get more information about the Florida Youth Shine program, you can go to floridaschildrensfirst.org. That's floridaschildrensfirst.org. We'll have these on our website if you want more information. And then if you'd like to get more information about Susan and her work, you can go to adoptionsurrogacylaw.com. That's adoptionsurrogacylaw.com. So we were talking a little bit on the break, Derek, about some of these statistics about, you know, just the kids that are aging out. I mean, Susan was bringing up that, you know, there's no support. I mean, for housing, there's no support for, I mean, there just isn't any support for these kids to really pull this all together. You, I understand, were extremely lucky with your foster family helping you to kind of put all the pieces together. Can you talk to us about that in terms of what Florida Youth Shine has done or what you feel like are some of the support that some of these kids need?
I think one of the biggest things is that I can't stress the importance of these children needing forever families and supporting people. I always challenge child welfare workers to ask a young person to name five people who are not paid to be in their life. If that young person can name you more than five or more people, we've done a good job of connecting them to people in their community, whether it's a mentor, a coach, a relative. Like, they need to be able to name five people who are not paid to be in their lives, because oftentimes when they come into the system, they lose that sense of connection.
Right, right. That is so extraordinary, the way that you say that, Derek, that are not paid to be a part of your life. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm just kind of like taken back by that comment, because I can see how that might really have the capacity to detach a person from feeling like they're part of a community or part of a forever family. Susan, I'm curious about this. If somebody's listening to this show and they're feeling drawn to this topic in terms of adopting an older child or an older person, what's the path for them? What are kind of the first steps for them? You talked earlier about 65-year-old woman being adopted by a 92-year-old man, right? You talked about
right.
that. So kind of what? How often do you see this, first of all? I've got so many questions, you can tell. How often do you see that? And then kind of what are the steps for people if they're interested in this, be it kids who are, you know, going out of foster care, aging out of foster care, or just simply an older person?
Well, the older adults who are older than 50, I get maybe one of those a year. Those are not the common ones.
Yeah.
But what I do
okay.
get a lot of are the kids who have aged out of foster care and or who have been in foster care at one point and have been, you know, significantly tied to whether it's a foster family or someone who's been an adult in their life, and now they've reached usually their mid-20s and they're wanting to feel that sense of a permanent connection, and they weren't adopted while they were a youth in care. And I do a lot of those. I had the privilege with Florida Children's First, Robin Rosenberg, to draft up some sample petitions and forms, and Florida Children's First is kind enough that they put those on their website, and we handle those throughout the state. We'll assist in finding an attorney who will handle the case and do the forms and get everything done so that those can be completed, and that's really been a joy to be able to do that. In fact, next week I have two adult adoption petitions that we'll be going to court on.
That's amazing. And so do the laws still apply? I mean, I think I'm understanding this, that if you are adopting someone in foster care, but does that still apply if they age out of foster care, if they're out of that system and they are an adult, are there adoption costs that are associated with that?
Yes, but it's usually just court costs, probably no more than $500. When you adopt a child who's in foster care, the cost is paid by the state to do the adoption. So that's even nicer if you adopt them before they age out of care.
Right. Okay. So there isn't, for example, when you were doing your adoption with Derek, so you didn't have to have a home study, for example. I mean, all of
you
us
don't
are kind
need
of
a home
used
study
to this
an
language,
adult adoption.
Right?
That's correct.
Okay. So there is no home study that's required. So it's kind of a shorter process. It's a less expensive process, obviously. So I just want to let our listeners know, we're not looking at, you know, we talk on this show quite often, because obviously I'm your adoption finance coach. We talk quite often about the fact that, you know, adoption is expensive, but foster care is not expensive, adopting from foster care. And then also we're understanding today that adopting an adult is not an expensive adventure either. So what are some of the other aspects of older adoption that need to be considered, like emotional issues? Derek was talking about, you know, hey, this is really the understanding of, this is really what a mom does. Trust issues that he had, developmental issues, those kinds of things that people need to be aware of if they're looking at adopting a young adult.
I think the reason I'm seeing a lot of these with young people who are in their mid-20s is because they've had a lot of those same issues that Derek has brought up, and they have maintained a connection with a family, whether it's a foster family, a teacher, a family friend. They've maintained a connection and feel like they've found that trust, that they're willing to take that extra step forward. We really stress that adoption needs to be a lifetime commitment. You don't want it to be a revolving door. We've seen way too often in foster care where there's not enough post-adoption services, and we see much more of a revolving door. What Florida did under George Sheldon, who was our DCF chair, who has gone on to be the secretary of DCF in Illinois, he was phenomenal in Florida in increasing the number of adoptions from foster care, but also in taking those matching federal dollars that came from those adoption placements and putting those towards support services and post-adoption counseling services for families, so that you could help that family stay intact, that you didn't wait for the family to implode to then offer services.
Right.
And that's been tremendously helpful. I don't know that there's anything that tracks that for adult adoptions. I'm pretty certain that there probably isn't, since there aren't federal or state dollars that go into that. But the ones that I'm seeing are where the family, where these young people feel safe and already feel connected to the family.
That's great. That's great. So Florida is such a leading state in this regard. What would you attribute that to? We're talking about, you know, you've mentioned a few names in terms of governors and senators and the political side of this. What else has contributed to the fact that Florida is such a leader in this regard?
I think we just have some phenomenal youth in Florida who have been willing to take the risk to share their stories. And most of that has been through Florida's Children's First and Florida You Shine. And
right.
They're the ones that literally catch the ear and the voice. And Derek can tell you firsthand from having lobbied in Tallahassee for several years that the kids are the ones who get invited by the legislators to come and speak in the committee meetings and to come and meet with them in their offices. And even though there are adults that are there who are advocates and who are speaking and who have had years of experience, what the legislator wants to know is, how is this bill going to impact your life as the young person who's in care? And those voices are tremendously powerful.
It is a tremendously powerful organization. Derek, do you see, now that you're not, you know, you're, I know that you're obviously certainly an advocate still for Florida Children First, but what do you see happening on the national scale with where you are right now in terms of how that's serving as a model?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is a lot of the committee hearings surrounding issues of youth and care, they are starting to realize that they need young people at the table, and they're actually starting to put in, like, federal law that they have to have a youth representative a part of those committees. Secretary Sheldon was also the Assistant Secretary of HHS, and he made sure that that was one of the things that he wanted to see incorporated, to see young people at the table. I can't stress enough about how important it is, because when a young person feels empowered and they feel like they matter, like, it just goes up, because it's like somebody cares. Somebody took the time to listen to what I took, listen to my story and what I had to say, and I matter. And I think that it's one of the most powerful feelings.
So if there's someone out there who's thinking about this and they're thinking that an older adoption would be, you know, something that would be suitable for their family, any advice that you would give them from your perspective as an older adoptee? Any thoughts that you might give them about bringing someone 25 into their home for the first time? Do you see what I'm saying?
The best advice I can give is, one thing that my mom used to always tell me is, when you get an older adoptee, an older adoptee, at least you don't have to change diapers, and you know what you're getting.
More underwear stories. Is that what you're telling
me? Right. So it was one of those things where it was like, okay, I got it. But I think the thing is it's through taking time and getting to know that young person and building that connection. I would like to say that Devon, the little boy from St. Petersburg, he got adopted today by his case manager. And one of the things that he said was, he thought that he was too old to be adopted. And that's sad that we have a system in place that kids who age out and wait around in the system feel like they're not wanted.
Right.
And they're not loved. So
right.
The fact that you can heal these young people and be a part of their lives, it makes all the difference in the world. Because of my mom, like, someday I'll be a great husband and be a great father because of the unconditional love and support that she's given me.
Wow. I can't even follow that with anything except that we have to take a break right now. We're going to come back with Derek and Susan sharing more about the topic of older adoption. So deeply grateful for you both being here with us today. So stay with us. There's more to come.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center, helping build families one miracle at a time.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks so much for staying with us. I'm Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. We want to give a call out to our sponsor, European Adoption Consultants. EACI is celebrating over 22 years assisting families in completing international adoptions. They are an international adoption child placing agency, Hague accredited, China licensed, and approved to complete adoptions in many countries around the world for people living in the United States. EAC is hosting a program. They're looking for accepting applications for host families for children from Colombia. If you're interested in this extraordinary opportunity, Margaret's been on the show to talk about the youth that they bring in from Colombia for a hosting program to help to find permanent families for them. You can contact EACI.com. That's EACI.com. And so we're back with Susan Stockham and her son, Derek Riggins, who is here with us. A couple of call outs for websites. If you want to get more information about Susan and her work, you can go to adoptioncircuslaw.com, and then floridaschildrenfirst.org is another organization that you can look at information for around the Florida Youth Shine program that we have been talking about today. So, Derek, you've got quite a future in front of you. Master's degree in social work with a concentration on social policy and administration. You're quite a leader. You've got quite a lot going on here. So tell us, you're now working on your PhD. Is that what you're doing?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm currently working on my PhD in organizational leadership.
Okay.
With the hopes of, I really want to get back into politics. I take what Secretary Sheldon said about being at the table very serious. So my desire is to someday run for office.
Well, I hope that you will. And I think that that is just your love for politics. I mean, I can really get that you really made all of the connections here, and you bring such a different perspective. So currently today, you are continuing to be an advocate for youth in foster care. Is that right? So your work with Youth for Tomorrow, does that entail that?
It does. I have the honor and privilege of being the Director of Community and Government Relations for Youth for Tomorrow, and an organization started by Coach Joe Gibbs in Prince William County, Virginia. And in that role, I get to go out and meet with agencies and really educate them on about the services that we provide at Youth for Tomorrow. and really work with those agencies to make sure that we get the right youth into our program to be able to make a difference in their lives. It is my desire that in my role at Youth for Tomorrow to continue to utilize the resources that we can provide at Youth for Tomorrow to help these young people make a difference in their lives after they leave our program.
Right, right. So what are some of the things that we can do better to have a better outcome for these kids in care?
I think, as I stated earlier about being able to have a young person name five people not paid to be in their lives.
Yeah, that's
when a young person feels like you genuinely are in their lives because you truly care, you get such a different result than that person who's paid to be in their lives, because oftentimes we'll say, oh, well, you're only doing this because you're paid to be in here. And then the comeback to that is, I'm doing this because I care. And then it's like, well, prove it. So really mentoring kids, even if you have kids, think about that kid who, for the field trip that you're going, that your child is going on, even if you could send an extra $5 to pay for the kid who's less fortunate to be able to go on that field trip, because people don't think about those things, about how much it is for a kid in foster care to be able to go on a field trip, because they got to submit the paperwork to the caseworker and all the loopholes that they have to go through to be able to go on those field trips. It's those little things that that truly make a difference in the lives of young people. Even if you can sponsor a kid going to a camp from foster care, being able to give that young person an opportunity to be able to have a sense of normalcy.
Right. And so important to be able to give them all of these various different and different opportunities. I think what I'm hearing you say is opportunities that we take for granted. Going on a field trip for a school, who would think that that would be so complicated if you are a child in foster care? Who would think that, you know, going on camp? I think we really take for granted that, you know, if you're in a foster family, well, then all your needs are taken care of. And that's not what I'm hearing at all. I'm hearing that there are lots of loopholes. There are lots of kids and youth that are sitting waiting for approval and paperwork and all of the things, the quagmire of things that kind of bog us down, right?
It does, because I always tell people a lot of times, like, the reason I hated the holidays is because I knew that that was the one time where I was going to get these gifts from random people. But then as I got older, I thought about it and I said, you know, why do I have to go to this camp that's only designed for kids in foster care? Why can't I go to the the normal camp like everybody else? Because I guess at that camp, that particular camp, everybody, you knew everybody was in foster care because they talk about their different group homes and things like that. But the sense of being normal, being able to be around a regular group of kids, to be able to experience what it's like not to be around other kids who are in foster care.
Right, right. Such a great point. You've made so many really great points today. So, Susan, if there are so many organizations that are out there, you know, that are really dedicated to foster to adopt, dedicated. We've obviously explored, and I know that Florida is really a leader in this capacity. But if somebody is involved and wants to get involved in a youth advocacy program in their state, what do they need to do? What's the first thing that they would do? Is it social services? Where do they go first?
You can go anywhere. There's a whole bunch of needs that are out there. You know, even the simple things of mentoring or tutoring, you can also look up for youth advocacy organizations. If you Google it, and you'll come up to Department of Human Services, and they'll list various states and the organizations in each state that are there that are similar to Florida Youth Shine, which is in about 16 states. So there's still a need for those to develop in many other states as well. But just on the local level, about 70% of the kids that are in foster care throughout the United States don't graduate with a high school diploma. So just getting involved in that level, the kids that get moved from home to home, often if they have an individual education plan or some special learning needs, those plans don't follow them as rapidly as what Derek was talking about as they get enrolled in new schools. So being an advocate, taking the time to even volunteer at your children's school to read, to help the kids read and keep these kids able to get on to grade level. If you think about being 18 and having aged out of care, how do you get an apartment rental when you don't have credit? How do you buy a car when you don't have credit? And these are the kids who are often, you know, susceptible to the higher usury interest rates of, you know, 25%, 18%, you know,
help take one of these kids and help them figure out a budget, how to buy a car,
right.
how to, you know, sit down and even figure out if you're going to college, for those that go to college, how do I make a map that's going to get me to my goal of getting my degree in social work or whatever it is that they want to do? You have to take so many classes in humanities, so many classes of science, so many of those. So sit down with kids. Just make yourself available and the kids will come. I mean, I've spoken at numerous conferences for years on adoption and foster care, and I just love the fact that now when I go to the conferences, I'm always introduced as Derek's mom, no longer as a professional. So I've elevated in title, but when you make yourself available, you'd be amazed at how many of these kids come to you with what their needs are, and you can just begin to be the spoke in the wheel to point them in the right direction and get them
right.
connected. And really, that's what we all need. We all have benefited from mentors in our lives. And if these kids are truly wards of the state, which is what they are when they're in foster care, then that means that they belong to you and I. And we need to take a responsibility for them just like we would with our kids. And I wouldn't consider it acceptable in my household if 70% of my four children didn't graduate from high school. And
that's
I don't
right.
think you would either. So we just
yeah.
need to be involved. These
yeah.
are our kids.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Thank you so much, both of you. Derek, thank you so much for coming to the show and such a huge contribution. And thank you for just all that you have done to help to advocate for youth in care and what you are going to continue to do. So I'm watching because I know we're going to hear great things from you. And Susan, thank you so much for being here and doing what you do to be an advocate for these youth as well. So I want to thank you both for being with us today. What a great show. If you like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story that you'd like to share, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Know that you can always find us on adoption.net, our new home. And thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next week at the same time, same place. In the meantime, have a great week and do something wonderful for a child today. Thank you.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.